We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky, and by the way, this is part of a massive recording effort that Matt and I are making here. But you should introduce yourself first.
Yes, this is a marathon recording session on Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark. I am recording from my office here at Ascension Lutheran Church in South St. Louis.
The reason we're doing this on Wrestling with the Basics, this marathon recording, is because Matt is heading out of the country. He's heading to England, jolly old chap.
You know, there was this episode of the Beverly Hillbillies where they travel to England, and that's
kind of what
I'm envisioning, John, is a similar experience. The Clarks go to England, and...
And tell them why, because this is really an exciting thing for your wife.
Yeah, I'm really proud of my wife, Lisa. So she's been working on her PhD in English and started, 5 years ago, I guess, something like that. And she's now coming to the completion of that, finishing up her dissertation. And she's been doing that through the University of Bristol, and that's over in Bristol, England. When she first started the program, likely she was going to have to be on campus a few times, but then COVID hit, John, and that changed everything. And she's been able to do this remotely, which is nice. It's a part-time PhD program, so she was able to continue to work full-time at Concordia Publishing House, where she works. And it's also a program where it's a writing program, a composition program. So part of her dissertation, a big part of it is hymns. So she's written over 100 hymns, and they've been edited and re-edited and edited again. And now she's at the point where now what's called examiners look over it. So one from Bristol and one not from Bristol, they'll look over it and give input as well. But anyway, it's been a good experience. There's one of the professors there is also probably one of the foremost experts in hymnody in the world. So it's been kind of nice for her to be a part of Lisa's program too. So it's been a good fit for her. So we're going to go there. We're going to meet some of her professors and her advisors in particular, be on campus a little bit, get together with some people in her program too, some fellow students, and then see some other sites in addition to that too. But anyway, that's the main reason we're making the trip.
Well, that's really exciting. And be sure and have some fish and chips while you're over there, okay?
You bet, John.
Because that's all about.
It's a prerequisite of a trip, right, is a plan for fish and chips. And then, yeah, we're going to fly back out of Edinburgh, Scotland. So I think some haggis is in order, too.
Oh, yeah. No, you can skip the haggis. Do you know what haggis is? You know what that is?
I don't think I want to know what haggis is.
No, well, they take sheep intestines and shove stuff in it, which I'm thinking that already had stuff in it that I wouldn't want to eat anyway. So,
Someone said like all the popular food in Scotland, it's like all of it originated from a dare. Someone was like, I dare you to eat this. But for some reason, it's stuck, right. And people are still eating haggis and other weird foods in Scotland today.
Well, let me tell you, you do not need to bring any haggis back for me. Okay, that'll be fine. Well, you know, I had a whole list of dumb jokes because the email bag is full of people saying, wait, where are the dumb jokes? You haven't had any dumb jokes, but we'll skip them. Next week, we promise you we will have some more dumb jokes, but we need to get on to this story that we want to finish here before Matt heads off to England. Jolly old England chap. And that's the feeding of the 5,000. Do you want me to set the story so far? Do you want to set the story so far?
Go right ahead, John. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, the disciples had been out working hard, anointing people with oil, calling for repentance. They come back, they're tired. They come to Jesus and they say, man, we haven't even had a chance to eat. I hope your schedule won't be that busy in England that you don't get a chance to eat. And Jesus says, well, come on, guys, let's take a break. We'll go find some desolate area where we can just be by ourselves. And of course, they get on the other side of the Sea of Galilee and it's surrounded by people. They all knew Jesus was coming and they're waiting for him. So Jesus, and so same word, got the same word for the day, compassion. And out of his compassion for him, he says, well, gentlemen, I know I'm tired too, but these are sheep without a shepherd. I got to spend some time teaching them. And that's where the story picks up then. Did you want to say anything about this business about Jesus seeing them like sheep without a shepherd and he began to teach them many things?
Yeah, first, just the scene there, just to emphasize, they're on a boat on the Sea of Galilee trying to get away to a desolate place. And it says, we're in Mark 6, verse 32. Now many saw them going and recognizing them. They ran their foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So, I mean, you can almost picture like somehow word spreads that you know, who's in that boat? It's Jesus and his disciples. You know, so it's like they're watching this boat where it's going to go and they're trying to just run ahead of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can almost picture people carrying along with them, people who are lame and who need healing and, you know, just kind of, here's the chance to see Jesus. And, you know, it's just an interesting image for us to picture. And you know, you picture that from the perspective of Jesus and disciples. You know, they're in the boat and can they see on the shore this crowd forming, following where they're going?
Yeah.
And, you know, was there a temptation to just maybe stay on the boat or maybe change course, you know, where people aren't headed? But they don't do that. Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, he looks at these people and they're like sheep without a shepherd. And, you know, you could do a lot of things with people who are sheep without a shepherd. You could be annoyed by them. You could try to avoid them, but instead it's our word of the day, right, John? He has compassion on them. So I guess, you know, as a preacher kind of meditate on this account too, how do you take that verse, they're sheep without a shepherd? You know, what does that mean exactly, for someone or a group of people to be like sheep without a shepherd?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just kind of curious.
Where did you take it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, I think, you know, I'm trying to think of today too. You know, do we encounter people in our own lives who are like sheep without a shepherd, right? You know, and here this crowd is just so desperate, it seems, for some hope and to get a glimpse of Jesus and to bring the friend who maybe is lame or maybe they themselves need healing and they're just looking for someone to care for them, right?
Yeah,
and they try to find that in Jesus. And, you know, I just wonder today if people have that same desire for someone to care for them, and yet they don't know the good shepherd, right? They don't know Jesus. You know, maybe they're searching for that in a, you know, it's election time, right? You know, so maybe they're searching for, a political leader that, you know, if I have the right candidate that's going to care for me and make sure that this nation's safe and I'm safe and, you know, the economy's okay and whatever else, you know, it's almost like they're looking for that shepherd, you know, in a political person, right? And a leader. Or maybe, you know, the atheist, the agnostic who just really doesn't believe in any God and they're just kind of living this life to, you know, grab as much gusto as they can while they're here, you know, again, sheep without a shepherd. You know, I think we encounter people who are sheep without a shepherd today. And then the question I think for us is, what's our attitude toward them, right?
Yep.
Are we annoyed by them? Do we try to just avoid them? Do we get in arguments with them? You know, what do we do with those people who are sheep without a shepherd? And I think Jesus gives us a pretty good model of maybe what our attitude should be toward those who are sheep without a shepherd.
You know, that was always when I was pastor, that's always how I looked at my congregation as people who were in need, who maybe weren't sure where they could find the green pastures and the still waters, many who were probably going through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yeah.
And I felt that my words need to be the words that would provide comfort for them in those situations, lead them where they needed to be and remind them that God is present wherever they are. So I think you're right. It certainly reflects that there's a need there And I'm thinking about what we said earlier about pastors speaking the word. But I think pastors, we need to remember that's what you got. You got people that they really don't know where they're going. And so, yeah, the rod and the staff, you know, David says, and the rod's a big stick. That's what it is. And you can use it to fight off the wolves and the bears and whatever else, the lions that may attack. But you might also have to knock your sheep a little bit and say, hey, wait a second, don't go there, you know.
Yeah.
But again, it's always with this desire because we want to help. We want to help. And ultimately, because we want to bring them the comfort of a love that of a compassion that is beyond our understanding. And that's the compassion of Jesus Christ for us.
Yeah. Because what, you know, when you think of literal sheep, you know, what happens if they don't have a shepherd?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's probably bad news, right? They're not going to last too
they're
long.
They're dumb. They're really, really dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. And predators are after them. If they don't have a shepherd, they're not going to last. And, you know, for Jesus, for those people who are like sheep without a shepherd, they're in danger. And Jesus, he has compassion. He has compassion on them. And
you know, they God tell me that if a sheep,
the same.
If a sheep falls over, it's just like a turtle. It'll just lay there.
Yeah.
It'll just lay there. It's got to have somebody coming, even that much, just set it back on its feet. The thing that struck me, too, about this passage is, again, we've got hungry, tired disciples. And in a sense, so Jesus is giving them some rest, isn't it? It's probably not the rest they pictured. They kind of pictured probably being off by themselves, maybe doing a little fishing, you know. But they were also there amongst the crowd as he was teaching them many things. And I hope people realize that when Jesus teaches us, it's like you said earlier about the commandment, gladly hear and learn the word of God. He really does want to give us rest in that teaching. Unfortunately, because we're sinners, and this includes pastors, we often see worship as a work, a chore. In fact, now that I'm filling in, you know, these churches have worship at incredibly early times, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I've got to drive an hour and a half to get there, you know, and I'm not excited about getting up early in the morning. I hope people understand that. Pastors don't like long church services either. But the fact of the matter is there's not a lot of work involved in worship. I mean, Lutherans do because we got this stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down.
Yep.
It's very, very aerobic worship in a Lutheran church. But that's okay. I don't mind doing a little exercise on my day off. And of course you got to sing hymns. I understand that. But again, that's not work, is it, Matt? My family, they like to get together and sing karaoke. You know, that's fun to sing songs. And if you listen closely to what Jesus teaches you, it's all good stuff. It's all about his mercy and his chesed, his steadfast love, his compassion. And there's no work involved in that either. So God help us to get over our sinful flesh and understand that. Listen to the teaching of Jesus. I hope this is the way it is for people who listen to Wrestling with the Basics. I hope people don't say, well, I guess I've got to listen to Wrestling with the Basics. But they find some rest and listening to you and me, although please don't fall asleep, okay?
Not that much rest.
Well, that's
rest
probably
to
what
a point.
That's probably what happens. So, any more about this? And shall we go on then to what the problem is? Though there's going to be a problem here.
Yeah. You know, what does that compassion look like now for Jesus as he shows it to the people? Okay. Yeah. Let's go. What would you like for me to read, John?
Verse 35, 36, 37. Right. Let's do it all.
All right. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late.
Let's just stop there. I changed my mind. Let's just stop there.
Okay.
Because see, again, for me, I love this because this is you and me. This is you and me. And we've all been there where we're tired and we're hungry. And now realize now they've gone the whole day. And they still haven't had a chance to get something to eat, you know? And so these loving disciples say to Jesus, you know what? It's late. We've sat here all day long listening to you teach. Just send them away. Let them give themselves something to eat.
Yeah.
Right? And haven't we done that, Matt? I'm sorry. I'm just too tired. You go take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't have any more energy to do anything to help you. So just go take care of yourself.
Yeah, you have go you find ever? Something to eat.
Yeah. So that, to me, that's a very real experience where we have people and they're making demands on us. And frankly, we don't have the energy to do it, right? So you're on your own. Don't come to me looking for help, which is a total lack of what, Matt?
Compassion. The word of the day, okay. Compassion.
Yeah. So do you have any thoughts about that? Otherwise, we'll read the next verse.
Well, let's keep going here.
All right.
But Jesus answered and said to them, you give them something to eat.
And I'm going to stop you mid-verse there too, because yeah. I'm thinking, that's not all that helpful. but what else did we think Jesus was going to say? Did we think Jesus was going to say, it's okay to be selfish? That's all right. You don't need to care about other people. It doesn't matter whether you have compassion on others. Is that what he's going to say? No. On the other hand, he doesn't say, what's wrong with you, you hard-hearted people? Did I not tell you to love your neighbor? Did I not tell you I was hungry and you should feed me? I was thirsty and you should drink? No, he doesn't get upset with them. No, he doesn't get angry. He just says, gentlemen, here's the thing. They are your responsibility, so you need to give them something to eat.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about that, Matt?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the confusion, right, that follows, right? You know, what would we do if Jesus said that to us?
Yeah.
Well,
so read what they say.
So they say to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And they found out and they said.
Stop. Yeah. No, let's take this verse by verse because each one of this reflects what goes on in our lives. Yeah. You know what I just realized, Matt? They're being sarcastic, aren't they? I did not think of the disciples being sarcastic, but that is sarcasm. Should we go buy 200 denarii? Yeah, like we have 200 denarii to even buy food. Like that would even be enough. Can you be sarcastic with Jesus? Is that good? You think of me sarcastic with Jesus?
I probably would hesitate to do that.
And yet it doesn't bother Jesus at all, does it? It doesn't faze him at all. This thought just occurred to me because I was wrestling. How do you take those words when the disciples say that to him?
A denarii was like one day's wage, right? Yeah, so we're talking 200 denarii would be over half a year's wages. So I don't think the disciples have that much money among them as they travel with Jesus. I mean, it does seem to be sarcastic to me too. It would take 200 denarii, Jesus. Come on, do the math in order to just give them some bread to eat. Yeah, because we're talking thousands of people.
Yeah, and yet here's the good thing. Here's the good thing. I would not recommend being sarcastic with Jesus, but at least they went to Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
They didn't get together and say, well, what are we going to do here, gentlemen? How are we going to figure this out? What's the plan? What's the program? See, and that's my thought. When Jesus gives you a situation that's impossible, that you literally don't have the energy, the strength, or the resources, or the money, or whatever, then the best thing to do is to keep going back to Jesus, okay? Because in the end, it is Jesus who will take care. Here's the thing, Matt. We cannot take care of our own problems, little less the problems of other people. Now, we like to think we can, and we go off on our little efforts to try to do this. But Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay? So if you find yourself in a situation where you're tired and hungry and it just seems like it's more than you can handle, then turn to the Lord Jesus. Probably don't be sarcastic. Okay? Although apparently it won't make any difference if you do kind of whine and complain to Jesus. And it won't make any difference. But the thing is you're going to find out Jesus will take care of the issue. When I preach this, Matt, I began by saying, we have never seen a miracle like this in our lives. And yet, then I said, but we have. We have, because Jesus actually does this stuff all the time. We're just not aware of it. Farmers work hard, but a farmer will tell you the miracle of farming is that you can plant one little seed of wheat and it'll grow 1,000 seeds of wheat. And no matter how hard you work, no matter how good a farmer you are, you can't make that miracle happen. It just happens. The grain multiplies, which is why as a farmer, you go out week in and week out because you have hope. You have faith that God will do this remarkable miracle and no matter what else happens. You can go fish and you can fish and you have your favorite spot and you can catch plenty of fish. But the fact that you can go back to that spot week after week, year after year, and there'll still be plenty of fish. You don't have any control over that. That's a miracle of multiplication of fish So the fact is, Jesus actually is multiplying bread and fish all the time, feeding not 5,000 people, but billions of people. He just does that, okay? So that's the thing you need to realize, is that no matter what, Jesus Christ will take care of the problem. You will have not necessarily everything you want, and not necessarily right away, and not necessarily without some hard work, but trust me, everything you need for your bodily existence, Jesus will simply provide it to you. Again, because the word of the day is because of his compassion. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thought, John. You know, that God feeds billions daily. You know, that's a great miracle. You know, give us this day our daily bread. And that's exactly what he does.
And you thought McDonald's was something because they sold several billions worth of hamburgers. They're nothing compared to what Jesus does every day.
That's right. Oh, I like that. Oh, yeah, that'll preach, John. I like that. The other thing I like that you picked up on is just our inability to do that. And, you know, here they are. The disciples are drained physically. They are exhausted. They are worn out. They are weary. And not only that, but they don't have any money. They don't have close to 200 denarii. They don't even have food. We hear from the other gospels, these loaves and fish aren't even from the disciples, right? Aren't they from a boy that they find, that has this with them? So they don't even have food. They've got nothing. And it's at this point where they have absolutely nothing that Jesus then provides abundantly. You know, even 12 baskets, extra, like one for each disciple. And I think, for us, it's kind of a shame that sometimes we have to get to the point of having absolutely nothing and being totally drained before we turn to Jesus.
Yeah.
God grant that we turn to Jesus daily, realizing that every day we need his provision. Every day we need his compassion, not just when we're at the end of our rope, not just as a last resort when things look desperate and we don't know how else this is going to get done. Every day to realize how we're nothing, we're empty. We need Jesus daily.
And to understand that everything we do have actually is a gift from him. Yeah. And that's not to say, let's finish the story. Go ahead. You want to read the end of the story there, Matt?
Okay. All right. Let's see here. They said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they have found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. Then he commissioned them all to sit down on green grass. So as they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men.
So again, it's not saying that we don't have work to do. The disciples had to take the fish, take the loaves, pass them out to the people who were in groups of hundreds and fifties. And it's this exact, that's why I love this story. It's the exact same situation today. Jesus has all the supplies. He does the multiplication. But yeah, we're the instruments. We're the tools. Now, why he decided to do it that way, I don't know, but it's what he decided that we're going to. And I like the fact that I'm the instrument, that I'm the one that's feeding my children and my grandchildren. We're doing that as soon as we're done here. We're going to take our grandchildren out for lunch. That's the plan. That's the program. But what I always really like about this story is the end of it, because I'm thinking if you're a disciple and you're hungry and you're tired, and now you got to hand out all this food, all this fish and loaves. And as you're handing them out, you're thinking, man, I sure would like one of those loaves. And well, there's a lot of people there. I wonder if there'll be anything left for me when we get to the end. And of course, what happens at the end, Matt?
They have a whole basket full for each one of them, 12 baskets full.
Yeah, 12 full, everything you need. Not only is the crowd satisfied, I love that phrase, they all ate and were satisfied, but as a disciple, you're going to be satisfied too, because here's the thing. Jesus not only has compassion for the other guy, you need to remember he has compassion for you.
Yeah.
So again, sometimes you work hard, sometimes you're tired, sometimes you're hungry, sometimes it may take a while, but there's never been a time when Jesus finally doesn't give us everything we need for our bodily existence. Now, Matt, where else did you go with this story?
Well, the other thing, you know, last week or a couple weeks ago, we looked at the connection between the Old Testament reading and the gospel reading.
Yeah.
And I think that's true of this account too. So the Old Testament reading that this gospel is paired with is from Jeremiah. And there, the Lord is lamenting the unfaithful shepherds of the people. So the people are supposed to be the leaders of the people, supposed to be the shepherds guiding, leading, having compassion, aren't. They're failing. Yeah. But yet God promises that he will raise up this greater shepherd. And I think that here in the feeding of the 5,000, we see, wow, here's the greater shepherd. It's Jesus Christ. Here he is having compassion on people who are like sheep without a shepherd. And what does Jesus do for them? Again, he has compassion, provides for them, feeds them in body and spirit, because he teaches. We don't want to overlook that. Yeah. But then he also feeds physically too. He cares about body and spirit. And then the other connection, I think, to the shepherd is that beautiful detail that's only in Mark's gospel. The shortest of the gospels, but yet he adds this detail, how the people sit down on what kind of grass? The green grass. And I love that, because I hear that, and I mean, I can't help but think of Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green grass, green pastures, and beside the still waters. And then he feeds me abundantly, right? My cup even overfloweth, Psalm 23 says. So I think the other connection here is the shepherd connection. Here's Jesus, the good shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's greater than any other of those bad shepherds that fell short in the Old Testament. Here he is, Jesus Christ. And he's the what does this shepherd do? Again, has compassion. He's the compassionate shepherd.
And here's the thing, and I'm sorry if you're a listener, you're gonna have to listen to our next episode. I'm sorry, there's no choice here. You don't have an option. Because here we have the good shepherd. And this text establishes that sooner or later he will provide you with everything you need for this bodily life. But now that you brought up the whole shepherd thing, that's probably not the greatest thing that the shepherd has done for you. So please come next week, because this, you can't end the story here, because this sounds like a fairy tale. Everyone lives happily ever after. The crowd's fed, the disciples are fed. But no, there's something much, much more profound that's going on with our shepherd Jesus. And we will talk about that in the next episode of Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.